everybody, this is Dan Lobby, and welcome to a schedule edition of the Orange and Brown Talk podcast. I know we did one of these yesterday looking at some games, but now the schedule is in hand. We're recording this on Wednesday night with the schedule released. Mary Kay Cabot is on the phone. Scott Patzko is on the phone. We're doing this from all different locations, so bear with us if the audio sounds a little different than usual. But Mary Kay, Scott, how are you guys doing tonight?
We're doing great. How you doing, Dan?
I'm doing well. We have a schedule. We have games. We can actually plan some things, and we know when this team is playing, and you know, we knew who they were going to play, but kind of knowing when those games are, it really does change things, which is why I thought it was a good idea to come back and talk about the schedule. Real quick before we get going, I want to tell everybody about our pre-draft event at the Music Box Supper Club. That is Tuesday night, the 23rd. Believe it or not, the draft is next week. We're going to be at the Music Box Supper Club. Head over to cleveland.com/Browns and look for that post. You can register for that. And also, we have to mention Project Text as well, which involves Mary Kay Cabot. She will send you text messages, $3.99 a month. Like I said, Mary Kay does it. It's kind of exclusive content that you're not going to see on the website. You might not see it anyplace else, honestly. But Mary Kay's doing it. You can also sign up for other writers like Doug LaMaurice, all our beat writers, Paul Hoynes, Chris Fedor. We got a bunch of news people doing it, Hayden Grove as well. It's $3.99 a month for each writer. So check that out as well. You'll be able to find info on that at cleveland.com/Browns. So with all that housekeeping out of the way, Mary Kay, let's start with you. We're going to kind of be scattershot with this schedule. We're going to talk about things we like, things we didn't like, some stretches of the schedule that are most interesting. But your first impression when you saw this schedule, it was kind of the first thing that stood out to you.
Well, there's two things that stood out to me at first, and I'm actually doing some takeaways right now on these two things. And that is, basically, it's very front-loaded with primetime games, three in the first five games, and it's very back-loaded with AFC North games. So it seems like the schedule makers are going to make the Browns prove it late. They're going to give fans what they want early on in the season, let them see a lot of Baker and a lot of Odell. But at the end of the season, the Browns are going to have to prove that they're for real and that they have arrived in the AFC North. And if they're going to win this thing, they're going to have to go through the Steelers and the Ravens and the rest of the AFC North to get there at the very end.
Scott, when you saw the schedule, your kind of first, what hit you?
Well, it was weird how it was getting kind of leaked out bit by bit. So we knew some of the big deal, games early. We knew about the primetime games, but when I saw the finished product, I think all those AFC North games towards the back of the schedule stood out. It's weird. I guess it could be looked at good and bad. I mean, if they stumble out of the gate and really struggle for whatever reason early on, you still get a lot of swings at the AFC North and you can kind of work your way back into the division title and make the playoffs. And then on the other hand, if you have injuries at the wrong time, have some people out for whatever reason, you go through a rough patch there in weeks, 10 or 11 through 15, 16, somewhere in there. It's doubly bad because those are division games. So it's one or the other. It's just a weird way to pack everything together. They play the Steelers twice in 3 weeks. I don't know. I don't know if that's good or bad, but it's weird.
Let's go ahead and talk about that stretch since you brought it up. So the Browns play the Steelers on Thursday night, November 14th. The week before that, or the Sunday before, not the week before that, 4 days before that, they play Buffalo. That's actually the first game they could have Kareem Hunt back, the Buffalo game. They play Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh plays the Rams at 4:25, the game before that. Let me double check here. I had their schedule up. I believe that's a home game for Pittsburgh as well. So there's not really a travel issue. I'm just going to double check that real quick. So they play the Rams at home the Sunday before they play the Browns. So the Browns are going to be at home. The Steelers only have to travel a couple hours, so there's no big issues there. But then, yeah, you've got Pittsburgh, and then 2 games later, you've got Pittsburgh again, this time in a national slot in Pittsburgh, Heinz Field, the place that has been a coach's graveyard. That's really going to set up for either the Browns or Steelers, I think, kind of the AFC North race. Obviously, the Ravens are going to be involved, but those two games over the stretch of 3 weeks is going to give us a little bit of clarity with each of those two teams as to where they're slotted, you know, along with the Ravens as that race heats up.
Yeah, you know, I think the interesting thing about the AFC North this year is that you really don't know exactly what the rookie quarterbacks are going to be all about in their second season. Lamar Jackson, I mean, will the league have figured him out a little bit? Will he have figured out how to become more of a throwing quarterback and not rely just as much on running? Will teams have dug into that Baker Mayfield tape enough to find some weaknesses? It didn't look like there were any last year, but are there some, and have the defensive geniuses of the league figured out any ways to slow him down a little bit? And can they do so with Beckham now on that roster? The Steelers, I mean, are they going to be better off without Antonio Brown? Are they going to be worse? So you just don't really know what you have with some of these teams yet. So, you know, I think it could come down to those three teams. And I remember talking to John Harbaugh at the NFL annual meeting a couple of weeks ago. And I'm telling you right now, he wasn't conceding anything to the Browns. I mean, he almost was taking it personally that, you know, I was asking him and other people were asking him about these great Cleveland Browns. And he was almost a little tongue-in-cheek when he said, we've got the most talent in the division, but let's see who's still standing at the end. They are conceding nothing to the Cleveland Browns despite the star-studded lineup.
Yeah, and Scott, kind of continuing down that AFC North path, I'm looking at the Steelers here. After they play that second Browns game, they don't play an AFC North game until Baltimore in the finale. They're at Baltimore. The Ravens, kind of the same setup. They've got the Browns on the 22nd in Cleveland, and then they play Pittsburgh, obviously, on the 29th. But, you know, it is interesting if we kind of boil it down to Browns, Steelers, and again, Mary Kay, you said, the Ravens, I think, are going to be, as long as Lamar Jackson can continue to develop, they're going to be in this race as much as anybody. But just looking at it from that Browns-Steelers perspective, it is interesting that the Browns are so AFC North heavy, and the Steelers are not really at that last month of the season.
And really, towards the end of the year, health is such a big issue. And we saw that last year when the Browns got their shot at Carolina. Cam Newton, you know, could barely throw the ball. And even with the Bengals, Andy Dalton gets hurt in that game. I mean, they were 5-5 at that point. He goes out and then they just fall off a cliff. So if you catch teams at the right time, it matters. And who the healthier teams are in the division is going to matter because of all these times that the Browns are facing them down the stretch.
Well, when you bring that up, Scott, one thing that brings to mind is, remember last year, obviously, the big flap that played out on Hard Knocks about resting veterans in training camp, and Hugh kind of wanted to do that. And Freddie Kitchens was actually the first one that suggested that might not be that great of an idea. And, you know, Todd Haley, of course, 100% agreed with him on that. And so it will be very, very interesting to see how that plays out and how some of the different coaches that are all coming together on Freddie Kitchens' staff, what their philosophy on that is. Because obviously, again, when you look at this schedule, like you said, Scott, too, the health of the Cleveland Browns is going to be vital in those last seven games when they have five AFC North games, those double games in that last stretch of the season. They really need to be healthy to be able to pull this off.
Now, the really good news for the Browns, though, is, you know, Pittsburgh and Baltimore aside, in the second half, they've got Buffalo, who, yeah, you know, I don't want to write off Buffalo. That's a team that last year could upset some people, and I know they want to take a step forward this year. The Browns should be favored in that game. You know, we'll see kind of where Buffalo and Josh Allen are when that comes to town. But going beyond that, they've got Miami, Cincinnati twice, and Arizona. The second half of the schedule is very friendly to the Browns when you take away the two Pittsburgh games and the Baltimore game. The rest of that schedule is pretty friendly. So let's kind of focus on the real headline grabbers, though. Let's look at that first half of the schedule. And one of the breaks the Browns kind of got is they get Seattle early-ish in the season, and that's a team that tends to hit its stride in November and December, although that's still a bear of a matchup no matter when you play them. And then they get their bye before they have to go play New England, which I think is you don't ever have an advantage when you go play the Patriots in their building, but that at least helps you a little bit to have a little extra time to prepare. Mary Kay, what did you think of kind of that first half of the schedule where, yeah, that's really where you've got the behemoths on this thing?
Well, yeah. I mean, when you look at it, obviously you've got the two Super Bowl participants in the first half of the schedule. You've got the Rams and, you know, you've got the Patriots there, and that's very difficult. And then when you look at the San Francisco 49ers, let's not forget that Jimmy Garoppolo should be coming back. Now, again, that'll be, you know, kind of early on in the season. And sometimes when you're coming off a torn ACL like that, you're not always yourself right away. But if he's ready to go, that is not going to be a walk in the cake, as Butch Davis used to say. And you know, the thing about having the bye week, it is going to be very, very good to be able to have that extra little bit of time to prepare for the New England Patriots, because you know, and we talked about this on the podcast yesterday, you know that Bill Belichick is really going to be circling the whole Baker Mayfield, Odell Beckham thing in red on his calendar. He's going to be ready for those guys. He's working on it now, probably already. I mean, there's no way that he's going to be, let himself get caught off guard by these Cleveland Browns. So, some of those games early on, and again, you know, Russell Wilson just becoming the highest paid player in the NFL in the early going there, and he's going to have a lot to prove in that game. You know, Sam Darnold versus Baker Mayfield, that, you know, there's really good storylines everywhere. And then, of course, you've got the Baltimore Ravens, and who can forget how the season ended there with Lamar versus Baker. So lots and lots of intrigue in the first half.
And Scott, kind of the flip side of that, having the bye going into the New England game, I'm just looking at it now. Seattle has to play a 1 p.m. game on the East Coast, which is 10 a.m. their time. But they've got a Thursday night game the week before against the Rams. So they actually get to do that on 10 days rest when they come to Cleveland. They actually, it wouldn't surprise me if they end up coming out to Cleveland a few days early to kind of adjust. So, you know, while the Browns get that bye week before they play the Patriots, the Seahawks, who are really good to begin with, they get 10 days before they come to Cleveland to play the Browns. I mean, these are sort of the things you look at when you're trying to figure these games out. That early portion of the schedule is pretty tough.
Yeah, I think that's the Seahawks and the Patriots. I know the buys in there, but that kind of stood out. Those two games and the Rams, I think, are the three games where you know what you're going to get. Those are going to be tough opponents. Everybody else on the Browns schedule has a question. Even, I mean, the 49ers, we don't know what they're going to be. There's no guarantees that they'll rebound in a big way from last year. You don't know. And most of these other teams are just, there's big questions, but with the Seahawks, the Patriots and the Rams, you can kind of have a good idea of what you're getting. I think the bye week, ideally it would have been week 9, because then you have Kareem Hunt coming back and with an extra week to kind of get ready for his first game. But I think the second choice would probably be before that Patriots game and having the extra week to kind of get ready for that. One thing about that stretch, they have the Seahawks game is at home, but they have two road games before that and then two road games after it.
Yep.
That's going to be an interesting stretch to see how they handle that. You have the one Monday nighter against the Niners in there, at the Ravens, at the Patriots, at the Broncos. If they can come out of that in good shape, then you're going into that back half of the season, like you said earlier, against some teams that you're not really expecting to be world beaters at that point. Again, you don't know what you're going to get with a lot of teams, but judging from what we know now, that back half of the schedule doesn't look daunting.
Yeah, that Seahawks game keeps looking scarier on paper to me the more we talk about it, because you mentioned it. The Browns have the Monday night game at San Francisco the week before, so they're already working on a short week. They're not going to get back until Tuesday morning at 4 or 5 a.m. Like I said, Seattle's got 10 days off, so that's going to be a tough game. Let's talk about the opener. That was a little bit of a surprise. Odell Beckham thought it was going to be the Jets. He got a lot of other people thinking it was going to be the Jets. It turns out to be the Titans. Scott, you can go first on this one. when we found out it was going to be Tennessee, what did you think? A home game against the Titans? A game that I think all of us kind of looked at yesterday and said, that's not really a marquee matchup.
Yeah. Is Otel's credibility shot now? I mean, how does this impact what he tells us the rest of the year? On the one hand, maybe you want a big bang coming out of the gate. But on the other hand, getting a team at home that I think you go in reasonably expecting to win. I think I saw some odds on Twitter saying that the Browns are opening at -4 in that game. I think they would have every reason to believe they can go into that game and win. And it's been 14 straight games without a win in week one for the Browns. And prior to last year, it was 13 straight with the loss. So changing that to start this season would be huge. And I think best case scenario is you go into that Rams game on Sunday night in week three at 2-0. I think looking at the beginning of the season, that's a definite possibility.
Yeah. One thing about Tennessee, and Mary Kay, we'll ask you about this as well. Tennessee went 9-7 last year. They're not a bad team. I don't know if we should write off Tennessee as some kind of bad team. My spin zone here is, like I said, when we did our podcast looking at the games before we knew the times and stuff, we all kind of shrugged off Tennessee. I don't think anybody's excited about the Tennessee Titans matchup at home. And now that game's going to be a big party because fans have been excited about this team. This is going to be their first chance to see them. They get a home opener like they all wanted. It kind of works out that a game that was sort of going to be shrugged off as just a 1 p.m. yawn of a matchup, there's going to be a lot of excitement in Cleveland for it. Mary Kay, what did you think when Tennessee was the opener?
Well, I think the first reaction is, that it was a little bit of a letdown when everyone was expecting one of these big, sexy, marquee matchups. So it had a little bit of a, wind out of the sails feel to it to me at first. But, then again, when you start to dig a little deeper, it's another one of those situations where you're going to have Mike Vrabel coming back here to Ohio and, someone that came up under Bill Belichick and defensively really knows how to dig into that film and prepare for a quarterback such as Baker Mayfield and Odell. And I mean, by the time they get to that game, they will have heard so much hype about the Cleveland Browns, right? I mean, there are a lot of teams that are gunning for the Browns because they're already so sick of hearing about how good the Browns are going to be this year. So I think the Titans are going to come in with that chip on their shoulder, ready to go. You know that Mike Vrabel is going to want to have a good showing here against the Cleveland Browns. And again, he's going to have the whole offseason to actually study that tape and come up with something for these guys. So I think there's a little bit more to it. And like you said, they went 9-7 last season. It's not like there's some pushover or anything like that. So I think there will be plenty to get excited about for fans for that game.
Yeah, I think it's a good opening week test. I think, there was all this talk about maybe, the Jets on a Monday night would have been interesting. But even before that, there was talk about maybe playing New England on Sunday Night Football in the opener. And I think you're just asking so much. The Browns kind of get to go into this opener. They're playing a team that is, can be a tough team, but they're not an unbeatable team. Like I said, they went 9-7 last year. Best case scenario this year, probably, if Marcus Mariota stays healthy, is they'll go 8-8 or 9-7. So that's the type of team you're looking at. And, that's a good opener for the Browns. It's a good test against a well-coached team, but it's not like you're going up against some sort of juggernaut.
No, and the Titans have been 9-7 the last 3 years, and I don't think I was just looking at their schedule or their past history. They haven't won 10 games in over a decade. So it's a team still trying to find its way. I think the bottom line here is the Browns get to open at home, and that's the big win for the Browns. They get to start this season at home with their crowd, and really no matter who they're playing is would have been coming into a pretty boisterous atmosphere at First Energy Stadium in week one.
Yeah, Mary Kay, you were about to say something there too.
Yeah, I was going to say that is going to be electric. The other thing that I keep thinking when I look at this schedule is, you know, I think we all think of, you know, the Bengals have somehow become sort of a laughing stock or whatever, but, you know, Tyler Eifert's going to be back for them. AJ Green's going to be back for them. Andy Dalton was not healthy at the end of last year. I mean, I think they started out like 4-1 or something like that last year. So they've got a new head coach. Obviously, they have a lot of work to do on defense, but, you know, I don't know that they're going to be as much of a pushover as they were last year. Now, I'm not saying that I think they're going to, you know, necessarily jump in there and contend for the AFC North, but I don't think that it's going to be as easy to beat them as it was last year.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think we do need to be careful. You know, obviously, look, in April, everyone's optimistic. The schedule comes out. Browns fans are so excited. But, you know, I guess this is the part of the podcast where we kind of have to be careful and make sure that we remind everyone that, yes, the Browns finished 5-3 last year, but they also beat teams that weren't good. Bad defenses. The good defenses they played, they lost to for the most part. You know, Baker Mayfield threw 6 interceptions against the Texans and the Ravens combined. So, you know, those are things to keep in mind. It's fair to get excited about this team, and fans should really get excited about this team. But at the same time, it's always going to be wait and see. I mean, Scott, you said it earlier. We don't actually know how hard this schedule is going to be, because maybe Cincinnati is a better team than we think. You know, maybe Russell Wilson gets hurt in week 2, and all of a sudden that's not as difficult of a game as we thought. A lot of things change between now and September. You know, maybe somebody on the Browns gets hurt, and that changes our expectations for the Browns. So many things can happen between now and the opener. It is important to kind of point out that this Browns team hasn't actually done anything. They haven't actually won any games that matter yet.
And, you know, I've harped on this so often, and I'm sure I drive people crazy with this, but and the Browns have improved considerably from a talent standpoint since the end of last season. But again, in those last 8 games of last season, or the last 7 games, I think it was, 10 of Baker's 19 touchdown passes came against the Falcons and the Bengals. And those were just some really poor defenses. And I don't think, you know, that you can count on things being quite that easy again. I mean, at that point, I mean, they're not playing the Falcons, but I mean, they're just, things are going to be different this year in terms of some of the teams that they're playing and some of the things that they're going to be seeing. And again, teams will have film on these rookie quarterbacks, which brings us to another point. And that's another thing that jumps out at me about the schedule. We talked about it again on yesterday's podcast, was that the Browns are facing, you know, pretty much the whole top quarterback class of 2018. And you just don't know what kind of a jump those guys are going to make or not make in their second seasons. I mean, how good, like you said, how good is Josh Allen going to be in his second year? Nobody really knows yet. Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, he'll probably be traded in for Kyler Murray. So that game could be very, very interesting, depending on how he plays in his first season. And then you've got, again, Lamar Jackson. And everyone has to see what the Ravens have in store for him in terms of how they're going to turn him into more of a complete quarterback. So lots of things to think about for next year.
Yeah, you know, on the one hand, you give the Browns credit for doing what they were supposed to do last year against those teams. Like, you're supposed to score a bunch of points, and you're supposed to beat some of those teams by double digits, and they did. But on the other hand, you know, again, and they've said this themselves, Freddie Kitchens has said it, players have said it, they still have a lot to prove, and Scott, we're gonna see it early. We're going to see what this team is made of very early.
Yeah, and I think a Debbie Downer turn here on this podcast with telling people to pull back. But I think one thing that fans can maybe be optimistic about is the fact that all that stuff happened in Baker Mayfield's rookie season, and that run at the end of the year came with Freddie Kitchens calling the plays, and that there's that continuity there, and that, yeah, they weren't facing the best teams that they were going to face all year, you know, down the stretch, but they were seeing their quarterback kind of come into his own during that time. You know, obviously you don't want to see him fail in those games. So you got, like you said, you got the most out of everything you could positively, and they did what they were kind of supposed to do. So you're getting that continuity coming into this season. So it's not really starting over. It's kind of building off that. And I guess the next logical step would be to then not throw three interceptions against the good teams and not have your worst outings against those teams. So it's kind of take that next step and make sure you're competitive against the top talent.
And part of why everyone is so excited is because we saw that at the end of the year, and it is believable that, hey, there's still, the arrow is definitely pointing up here. By the way, another little nugget here when we talk about this schedule, I was curious. So the Browns have that bye before they go to New England. New England plays a Monday night game the week before that. So see, there are some things in this schedule that did sort of fall the Browns' way when it came out. So it's going to be really interesting. This schedule, the reason people were so excited about it is because 2019 should be a really fun year for this football team. I mean, for all that Debbie Downer stuff, I went on a show earlier. You can find it on our site, and I made a much bolder prediction than I expected. We're not going to do predictions on this podcast. You got to go watch that video if you want to see my prediction, because I made it because they asked me to, but I don't love early predictions in April, especially before the draft, much like I think the two of you. Real quickly, though, before we sign off, we're running out of time here. Is there anything we missed, Mary Kay, when you look at the schedule? Is there anything that we didn't get to that stands out to you that you want to talk about that we can look at once those takeaways post?
Yeah, you know what? In addition to the four primetime games that they have, the NFL has also made them the game of the week twice. So they will be the CBS 425 game of the week that most of the country will watch when they play the Patriots and when they play the Steelers. So I think some people were a little bummed out that they didn't get the maximum of five night games. They can also be flexed into another night game at the end of the season if they are as good as everyone thinks they're going to be. So the whole world, you know, the whole nation will have plenty of opportunity. They were clamoring for Baker and Odell, and the NFL delivered.
Yeah, and I'm wondering how hard CBS fought to keep that New England game. I think that's important to remember, that some of these games maybe didn't end up on primetime because the network said, no, we want this game for our national slot. And that New England game at 4:25 on October 27th, might have been one of those games where CBS said, no, you guys can't have that one for primetime. Scott, anything we missed on this schedule? Anything you wanted to talk about before we wrap up here?
Nothing on the schedule, but even though we're not doing the schedule game, I did ask readers to do it tonight. I put up a post pretty much telling them to have at it and gave them every possible one-loss record, you know, excluding ties, that the Browns could have in 2019. And the winner so far, with 32% of the vote, is 10-6. So maybe a little more conservative than I would have thought from a fan base that's obviously really excited. That's followed by 11-5 and then 9-7. Let's see, 9 votes for 16-0. So you got some believers out there. I think Doug Le Maurice, our colleague, is all about 12-4.
He is.
That's the fourth best. So everybody sees a good season. I was just kind of surprised to see 10-6 kind of leading the pack right now, but maybe that'll change.
Well, you know, Browns fans are feeling good, and it's great to see. It's part of why covering this team this year is going to be a lot of fun, because that, you know, my favorite part of this job is covering the games. And now that we know the games and the times and you know, it's exciting to kind of think about, you know, where we could be sitting on November 24th. You know, okay, that was a bad choice because I just looked and that was Miami. Where we could be sitting on December 1st when we're in the Heinz Field press box waiting for that 4:25 start, thinking about what the storylines are and where this team could be going. It's a lot of fun to think about, and I know fans are excited about that. So we wanted to get this kind of schedule Orange and Brown Talk podcast out to all of you. John Dorsey press conference coming on Thursday, his pre-draft press conference. So watch for all kinds of coverage on that at cleveland.com/Browns. Of course, Scott's poll is up there. I did a little game-by-game breakdown of each game. Mary Kay has the schedule story, and I know you're going to do some takeaways here coming up a little later here on Wednesday night. So make sure you check all of that stuff out at cleveland.com/Browns. That's going to do it for us. For Mary Kay and Scott, thanks for listening, everybody.